Craig, you better work good this time.
Craig is on his last chance.
Yeah. He's not doing good.
No, Craig really, last week we crushed it. And Craig dropped the fucking ball. We had so many drops in call quality. So, since Craig is an old friend of ours, we're going to give Craig one more chance.
We're hoping that it has maybe something to do with last Sunday when we recorded, it was Mother's Day. I don't know if, like, heavy traffic on Discord had something to do with it. I don't know. So we're trying this out on Sunday morning instead of Sunday night. We'll see if it works.
So this is more of like a wake and bake session instead of a Sunday scary session. And it's episode 31, TH Fantasy. 31, dude. That's how many flavors there are at the ice cream store.
Right. And how many teams there are in the NFL if you don't count the Jaguars.
Okay, so we're rolling on. Last episode was great. I listened back, aside from some of the choppy editing. Craig, just remember, we reserve the right to shut it down at any time.
Yes, we are currently in a bar rescue marathon right now. As you know, every Sunday, starting at 8 a.m., they play Bar Rescue until, what, the new show at like 8 p.m.?
I wonder if we could reach out to Taffer and see if he'd do a podcast rescue. I want him to show up and just shut it down. I want to hear the stress test. I want him to do everything.
Well, didn't we look it up on Cameo? How much was it again? $250?
It's like $250 for a John Taffer cameo, yeah.
That would be
awesome. I'd fucking pay for it. If we win money in DFS this year, next year's podcast intro is going to be John Taffer.
That would be so cool.
Right? All right.
So anyways, this week, I'm doing the NFC West. Tony's doing the mighty AFC West.
Yeah, why did you decide to be nice enough to give me the AFC West while you took the NFC West? Like, what
just because, like, I know there's a crap load of stuff more to talk about.
Okay. All right. You wanted me to dig through the ditches and burn through the witches, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right.
Rob Zombie style.
All right. So you did the NFC West. I did the AFC West. You had probably a lot rougher of a time because it fucking sucked. We're going to do a tweak to our formula, but we'll wait until the end of our first one before we talk about it. So let's just get started. Do you want to start?
Sure. I'll start with the hashtag shitty Seahawks. All right, so Seahawks 7-10 last year. Nothing really to talk about in that season.
Well, they started really well.
Yeah, that's true. But ultimately, wasn't that great.
Yeah, Kyler and Hopkins got hurt.
Mm-hmm. No, we're talking the Seahawks.
Oh, well.
We're talking Seattle. I was confused. I'm like, what are you saying?
Sorry, everyone sucks in that division. I kind of all lump them all together.
So, yeah, we're doing Seattle. So, obviously, Russell's gone. He's in the Mile High City now, in better pasture. He's going to have a really good chance to do something with the Broncos, but we'll let Tony talk about that. Pete Carroll, still the head coach. Who knows? This could be his last year. He's getting older. He could retire soon. But he's still the head. What?
He hates losing. Like,
right.
As soon as USC was going to get hit with sanctions for gambling, like, or for taking money, he just left. It's like, he hates to lose. He's like Sean Payton.
Interesting. They hired Sean Desai, former Bears defensive coordinator, as their assistant head coach.
I like that.
I just thought that was cool because he's a former Bear.
Yeah, and he's young, he's smart. Like, he could be someone that they're looking at as a replacement for Carroll.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of these teams that we're researching, they have a bunch of promotions or guys that leave for other jobs, and there was a bunch of guys that left or got hired as new coaches this year. Andy Dickerson, offensive line coach. Dave Canales is their new quarterbacks coach.
Okay.
Sanjay Lal is their new receivers coach and offensive passing game coordinator. Those are the three that really stood out, other than, like, you know, the assistant to the assistant athletic trainer. But they did have a bunch of new coaching positions this year. Players that left, obviously, like we said, Russell Wilson, DeMarco Jones, outside linebacker to the Titans. DJ Reed, cornerback, he went to the Jets. Let's see. There's my Gerald Everett went to the Chargers.
That's right.
Defensive end Benson Mayowa was the last member of the 2013 championship team to leave. Wow. So they no longer have anyone from the Super Bowl winning 2013 champs.
Wow.
Carlos Dunlap, Kyle Fuller, they both left. So when the whole trade with Russell, we ended, Seattle ended up getting Drew Lock, which is not the answer to any of their problems. What was involved with that trade? They got Lock, and what? How many other picks did they get?
They got Lock. They got multiple firsts. They got multiple seconds, and they also got one of the pieces that I liked most is the defensive lineman Shelby Harris.
Okay. Yeah, I did write down they have many defensive additions this year.
Yeah, they also got Noah Fant.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot they got Fant.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than Drew Lock, they just had a bunch of other scrub guys that are really no one of note.
Pieces.
Right. Let's break down their draft really quick. I'm not going to spend too much time on the Seahawks. So pick 9 overall, they took Charles Cross, tackle from Mississippi State.
It's a great pick.
Yeah, you think so?
I mean, they're rebuilding, right? And
yeah,
you rebuild with linemen. And so, like, I think if you think about the weapons that Seattle has, you go into it with a starting left tackle, right? A rookie starting left tackle. You've got DK Metcalf. If he comes back, you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside. Noah Fant as a tight end and Kenneth Walker, who you'll talk about in a second. Like, if you get in a decent quarterback, that's a great offense. It's surrounded by great pieces.
That's true. They had 2 back-to-back picks in the second round. Round 2, number 40, they took Boye Mafe, outside linebacker. Yep. And round 2, as you mentioned, pick 41 overall, Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. And that's someone who actually could see playing time right off the bat.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Penny's coming back, right? But he's coming off something, right?
Penny's hurt. Penny's been hurt every year of his career.
Yeah.
And he didn't get his fifth-year tender re-signed. And then also, Chris Carson might retire because his neck is that bad.
Really? Is that bad?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously he wants to play, so we'll see what happens. But as of right now, as of May, there's a good chance Kenneth Walker gets the most touches of any rookie running back.
Especially if they can't pick up, you know, Garoppolo, or there's, like we went over earlier, there's not too many free agent quarterbacks left. They would have to get Garoppolo, or who else was the other guy we were talking about?
We were talking about Nick Foles and Cam
Newton. Nick Foles and Cam Newton, that's right. I mean, any of those options, if they get any of those free agents, Kenneth Walker's still going to be a huge part of that offense, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Round 3, number 72, they got Abe Lucas, another tackle. As you said, rebuild, get tackles from Washington State.
That's another guy that the Bears were, that was mocked to the Bears a lot. In the second round, yeah.
In the second round? Wow. Round 4, pick 109, Kobe Bryant, cornerback from Cincinnati. Round 5, pick 153, Tariq Woolen, a quarterback from Texas.
Yep.
Round 5, number 158, Tyreek Smith, linebacker from Ohio State. They did not have a 6th round pick. They had 2 sevenths, round 7, number 229, Bo Melton, wide receiver from Rutgers. Could be interesting.
They also 40 at the combine.
Yeah. And they also took another wide receiver 4 picks later, Derek Young. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're not going to do a lot of passing this year anyway, so it's not going to matter. Anyways, some notes I have written down is Seattle might actually be the worst team in the league this year. I think Jacksonville is going to do better than Seattle. I think Jacksonville will definitely do better than Seattle. Drew Lock is not the answer at quarterback. Maybe another outside of Jimmy G, maybe Baker Mayfield. Maybe that, yeah. You know. But it's real slim pickings at that at the free agency quarterback right now. So I'm not too excited for their team. And not even their defense. They didn't, outside of the multiple scrub defensive additions they did, I don't feel like it's going to really make their defense any much better than blah, you know?
Shelby Harris is going to be possibly an all-pro. That's my strong take, because he played really well last year for Denver.
Okay.
Now the question is, how much of that is scheme, how much of that is fit, but like, yeah, Shelby Harris was real good last year. We'll talk about it in a minute, but the thing is about the draft, Seattle always does weird shit.
That's true.
Like Rashad Penny in the first round all those years ago, everyone was like, yeah, he was like a 4th round pick. They always take weird shots, so it felt like they're really trying to nail this rebuild. They're doing it with premium positions. I think Seattle could turn it around quick, especially if DK comes back.
Yeah, well, is he scheduled to be back in the beginning of the season?
DK will be there, but this is his last season under contract, so he's going to want that extension.
Right. He's going to go somewhere else, especially if they're in the rebuild.
Well,
get some draft picks or something for him.
Well, my thing is they could trade him and use those assets, you know, to continue the rebuild. But if they go to DK Metcalf and say, look, this year is going to suck ass, but we're going to be in place to draft one of the top 3 quarterbacks in next year's rookie class. Like, that might make him want to stay.
Yeah, it's also going to make him say, pay me.
But they should. Yeah. I mean, they just got rid of Russ.
Yeah, true.
They got a ton of money now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, so what else do you got for Seattle?
That's about it, man. I mean... Okay. Like I said, it's Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that.
So here's something that we did. Last week we kind of said, what are our predictions for the team? But since we are, you know, gambling fools, what I'd like us to do is that we're going to look at the Vegas line for wins. And I want you to tell me over under.
Sure. And take in mind that I didn't look up any of these odds. Tony's the only one that knows them, so I'll be guessing.
You're hearing them fresh.
Right. I'm saying 5 wins. That's it. Just 5 wins.
So the Vegas line is 5.5.
Are you serious?
Yes. So
I had to put that half in there.
So are you taking the under on 5.5 wins for Seattle?
Oh, yeah. I'll take the under because I think 5, yeah. I think they go 5-12.
I, too, am taking the under for Seattle. Now, by the way, anybody, if you have FanDuel, like the sports book, you can place these bets along with us because I think I'm going to put $2 or $3 on each of our each of our over-unders and see what hits at the end of the year because it's, you know, $60. If we hit, then we
I'll do it, too. Yeah.
All right, so Seattle, fuck that. Let's never talk about that again. After this, because I'm going to start with the Denver Broncos.
Oh, shit.
The Denver Broncos last year were 7-10. They were the only team in the AFC West to finish below 500.
Which is crazy.
And did you watch, I mean, I don't know how many Denver games you actually watched last year. So, you know, Ryan and I are Red Zone watchers, and I watched some stuff afterwards. But since Denver's a West Coast team, we see a lot of their games because they play in the 3 p.m. Central window.
Yeah.
So I feel qualified to say the Denver Broncos in 2020 were fucking boring to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Not fun at all.
When Tim Patrick is like the best receiver in like more than a handful of games.
Yeah.
Come on.
They paid him. They gave him an extension. What the fuck? Anyways. Thank God Vic Fangio is gone. Great defensive coordinator. Boring as fuck. Their new coach was the former offensive coach in Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett, who sounds like a villain in like a Victorian vampire book.
Yeah, right.
Can't you just go by Nate? Like Nathaniel Hackett? How fucking British are you, dude?
You will call me Nathaniel.
Right.
You will not call me Nate.
Not Nate. So yeah, he was the OC in Green Bay. Now he's taking over the Russell Wilson-led Denver Broncos. Green Bay position coach Justin Auten is his offensive coordinator. So he brought over his dudes. A secondary coach that left the Rams is now in Denver as the defensive coordinator, named Ejiro Averro, which is a fucking awesome name.
Yeah, right.
So let's not bury the lead here. Obviously, the biggest acquisition this year is Russell Wilson at quarterback. They gave up the farm to get him. They made their move. They also got a move that I think is going to be a big deal. They got Randy Gregory, the edge from Dallas, pass rusher. They went in on tackles. They got two tackles in free agency, Tom Compton, who should start, and Billy Turner for depth. Alex Singleton is a big signing at a linebacker, and they got Kawan Williams as a cornerback. The players that left, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Broncos fans. Drew Lock is gone. So sorry.
I don't even think they remember that he was on the team.
Right. Noah Fant is gone. Kenny Young is gone. He has left for Las Vegas. Former Chicago Bear Kyle Fuller is a free agent, just sitting out there.
Yeah.
Bryce Callahan, they lost as well. So a lot of those former Bears players or Fangio guys are now gone. And I mentioned earlier, Shelby Harris. They're going to be missing Shelby Harris quite a bit on that defensive line.
How's their O-line? Is Russell going to have enough protection? Because I really like, outside of them not retaining Noah Fant, I really like how their offense is set up this year.
Sure.
Is it going to be as good as everyone is expecting, you think?
So they really only needed help at tackle, and they addressed tackle in free agency. So the hope is they're returning a group that's about the same.
Did they get anyone in the draft?
So in the draft, they went Nick Bonito, edge from Oklahoma in round two. They got Greg Dulcich, tight end from UCLA in round three.
Yeah, that's actually okay. So now I'm not that like butthurt by the Noah Fant leaving, because Dulcich could be a good replacement.
Well, the question is, where does he and Albert O fit in together?
Yeah, true. So obviously, Albert O's probably going to be the number one.
Right. So we'll talk about that in a sec. So round four, they went cornerback. Round four, they went defensive end. They went real defensive heavy in the draft. So they had 9 draft picks, and only 3 of them were on offensive players. So they drafted 6 guys on defense.
Wow.
So it's a big investment, you know, like they're recognizing we spent all this money getting Russ and he's going to fix any holes that are in the offense. And we re-signed Tim Patrick for some reason. So they're just hoping they're drafting through the defense to fill those starters. So,
sure. Yeah.
So I looked at a bunch of the offenses that our supervillain Nathaniel Hackett has run in his time since, you know, that is such a character's name from, like, What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
So he's going to use a lot of 12 personnel. So one back and two tight ends. That, to me, tells me that's why they went high with Dulcich. He's not going to compete with Albert O. He's going to play next to Albert O.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So Hackett likes a zone run scheme, and I got to tell you, man, the Broncos have Javonte Williams is real good in a zone run scheme, but I got bad news. Unfortunately, so is Melvin Gordon. So
historically,
this has been a split, but that's the thing. Last year it was Vic Fangio, so we don't know what the split is going to be like this year.
A lot of what I've been hearing is that, you know, they went out to get Javonte Williams and they're going to use him. I think it's going to be more of a 65-70-30 split, you know, something like that. I mean, and let's face it, Melvin Gordon's getting old. What is he, 30?
Yeah.
So he eventually the Broncos are going to have to roll with who they've invested in as a player.
Well, here's my theory. My theory is you'll see a Javonte Williams Melvin Gordon split that looked a little bit like the Aaron Jones AJ Dillon split in Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think that's the same situation over there too, is where AJ Dillon may see more of the share this year. I think it's kind of the same situation.
Yep. So, anyways, Russ obviously makes this team dangerous at any moment. And every fantasy football player wants to know who his favorite target is going to be, right?
Yep.
So Hackett, when Nathaniel was in Green Bay, they force-fed Adams, force-fed him the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
And they can't do that here because they can get production from Judy, from Patrick, and from Sutton.
Yeah, and historically, I don't know if it was coaching scheme, but really, Russell doesn't do a whole lot with tight ends either.
Not historically, right?
Yeah. So but the question that could change.
The question is, yeah, is that the offense that he was in, or is that a tendency in the player?
Right.
Denver's offense comes in with a bunch of question marks, but like only for fantasy. They're going to get production in real life. That's a pretty much a lock, right?
Yeah.
It's just a question of how does that come. The offensive line still will need improvement, and it's, man, like, I feel like they should have invested a little more on the line, because as you'll hear when we go through this, the defenses in this division loaded the fuck up this year.
Really?
Yes. All right, so we mentioned Shelby Harris. This is the third time we've mentioned Shelby Harris. Shelby Harris led Denver's defense in sacks last year. On top of his sack leading number, he also had 7 tackles for loss. So he was a fucking wrecking ball. Nick Benito is a nice draft pick they got in the third. He's going to be like a rotational pass rusher behind Chubb and Randy Gregory. So Denver's defense has holes at all three levels, but they also have studs at all three levels. And they're really hoping that Chubb and Gregory cause enough pass rush that the holes aren't exposed.
Expose those holes.
You better not expose those holes. Denver had decent defensive numbers last year in terms of interceptions. They had 13 interceptions and 36 sacks. Only 6 forced fumbles, but that's changes from year to year. So the Broncos and the Raiders, I think, are like twins right now because they're both trying to compete in year one with a new coach who's also turning over the roster from the last year, right? So I think this is a bigger task, though, than it is in Vegas because Fangio was like ball control and defense and like the new coach. They didn't acquire Russell Wilson for him to hand the ball off 30 times a game. That's not happening.
Right, yeah.
So my question is, can Nathaniel, who is a first-time coach, overhaul the roster into win-now mode in the hardest division in football? To me, the best case scenario is that Russ plays out of his mind and the defense holds up enough for them to win 35-24, maybe.
Right.
But really, honestly, I think there's just too many plates spinning here for a team to make the playoffs in a division this loaded. So my prediction is that this is not a playoff team.
It's not a playoff team, but they still have a better than 500 record, right?
So let me ask you. My number was 9-8.
9-8.
Yeah. Vegas has their win total at 10.5.
Wow.
Are you taking the over or the under?
No, I'm not taking the over on that. I think 10 wins is probably the most they'll get, but you're probably right about 9. And Vegas is always right. I think probably they'll probably be good for 9, maybe 10. And that's why Vegas put it at 10.5.
Wait until we get to the Raiders line, because I think of all of the lines for the teams that we're doing this week, I think this is the most interesting line.
Okay. Are you going to do the Raiders after I do the 49ers?
Sure. Let's do it. Take it away. Right. Show me the 49ers here.
So surprisingly, we're going to move on to the 49ers, who were surprisingly 10-7 last year. I think Debo had a lot, to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of a fun time to watch those games, because Debo was just used in such an interesting way that not many players are using. And I think he's going to get a lot of that same usage this year, especially because they still have Garoppolo on their roster. And I don't even know, like, and we were chatting earlier, and a lot of news media reports out right now are that the coaching staff is not liking how Trey Lance looks in camp so far. Like, I don't know what that necessarily means from what they're seeing, but they're saying he's not looking that good. So the chances are, I mean, Garoppolo could still be playing next year. And that means the same scheme. They're obviously not getting rid of Debo. I mean, they tried, but he just wants too much money. Is that what's going on?
Well, he doesn't want to be used as a running back anymore.
I see. Okay.
Because that shortens your career.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a question for you then. It's three very short questions.
Okay.
Who is the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in week one?
Week one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Jimmy G.
Who's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in week 9?
It's gotta be Lance. Cause like you were saying earlier, I mean, they invested the draft pick in this guy. Who knows? Maybe he's just really rough right now, and they're like, all right, we'll give Jimmy G 4 or 5 weeks. Lance, you better step it up. You know, I don't know, man. It's so hard to say.
I have one last question. Who's the San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback in week 17?
It's got to be Lance.
So he doesn't give the job. So you're saying Jimmy starts, they give the job to Lance at some point during the season, and he does not give it up?
Yeah, I think so. I think if the 49ers can't get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason, he'll at least be gone by the trade deadline during the regular season. They just need to get rid of him. There's no point. And it's like the Bears having Foles and Andy Dalton and Fields on the same roster. You just don't need all those guys.
Sure.
So anyways, Kyle Shanahan's still the coach. They hired Anthony Lynn as the assistant head coach. Brian Greasy, an old quarterback from, when was he a quarterback, in the 2000s, 90s?
Yeah, 2000s, late 90s.
Remember watching, he's now the new quarterback's coach in San Francisco. They lost Wes Welker, their wide receiver coach. He's going to be the same position in Miami. Okay. They lost Mike McDaniel, who is now going to be the head coach in Miami. And other than that, like I said, you've got the assistant to the assistant gym trainer. They've got a handful of those guys, but those are the guys that left, and those are the notable hires for their coaching staff this year. Right. And surprisingly, as I was looking at all these players that left, a decent amount went to Miami, and I think that has to do with Wes Welker and Mike McDaniel leaving and going there. Raheem Mostert is now a Miami Dolphin.
Right. He's probably already hurt.
they took Trent Sherfield. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They took River Craycraft. They had some defensive and O-line guys go to Denver, three of them. They let go Josh Norman. He's still a free agent. Nobody's picked him up. Old man Norman. Laken Tomlinson went to the Jets. They let go Zach Kerr, defensive tackle. Richie James Jr. went to the Giants, another wide receiver. So they got rid of three, you know, their back end wide receivers. But
right.
But and surprisingly, they did not pick up a wide receiver in the draft. In terms of new players, they did pick up Ray McLeod, which
returner.
He could translate to something, but he is a wide receiver. But in terms of the draft, and they let go more wide receivers than they've hired on so far. They picked up Charvarius Ward, cornerback. They picked up George Odom, safety. They picked up Austin Burks, linebacker. They picked up Hassan Ridgeway on defense.
Yeah.
They picked up Kerry Hyder on defense. So overall they're still not that great.
Right.
I think they're going to have more troubles this year with that quarterback situation and trying to find their identity.
Is Trey Lance the answer long term, you think?
Honestly, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to be like a Johnny Manziel situation.
Uh-huh.
At all. It's not going to be as extreme as that. It's just I don't think he's going to fit into what they want to do. Cuz honestly, dude, if that was the case, he would have already been starting like Justin Fields.
Sure.
You know. He never really had a lot of experience in college, did he? Even, you know.
Well, he took off the COVID year.
That's right.
And it was one of the Dakota states. I think it was North Dakota State. So, like, you know, the question is, did he ever play against NFL level competition? Right. And the answer is no. But you would hope a year's worth of coaching would make him good or startable.
Yeah. I mean, somebody saw something in him at one point, you know.
Just remember, it's this time of year that, like, always take that shit with a grain of salt. Remember, people were complaining last year that Ja'Marr Chase was dropping too many passes in practice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm not worried about anything in May.
That is very true. So let's look at their draft really quick.
Okay.
They did not have a first-round pick. Did they trade it? They traded away?
Yes. That was part of the Lance deal.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So no first round pick this year. Overall, round 261, they took Drake Jackson, linebacker from USC. Round 3, pick 93, Tyrion Davis Price, running back from LSU.
Shanahan loves his running backs.
That's true. Yeah, because they still have they re-signed what's his name? God, I can't remember.
They have Mitchell, Sermon, Hasty.
Hasty, yeah.
God, who else? They got Davis Price now. Like, Jeff Wilson shows up every once in a while.
Yep, that's right. Round 3, pick 65, they got Danny Gray, or 105, they got Danny Gray, wide receiver from SMU. That was the only wide receiver they grabbed in the draft. Round four, number 134, Spencer Burford, outside line. Round five, number 172, Samuel Womack, cornerback from Toledo. Round six, number 187. I don't even know how to say this guy's last name. Nick Zackelge, outside line from Fordham.
Awesome.
Round six, number 220. Kadia Davis, defensive tackle, UCF. Round six, number 221. Tariq Castro-Fields, a quarterback from Penn State.
Right.
And with a shocking round seven pick. I always love players from Iowa and Illinois. They picked up Brock Purdy, the Iowa State quarterback from last year.
He might be one of the best practice squad quarterbacks in the NFL now.
Essentially, yeah. Number one practice squad.
Would you rather have Brock Purdy on your team or Kyle Trask?
Ooh.
Give me Brock Purdy. I'd rather have Brock Purdy over on my team.
I drafted Kyle Trask in a dynasty last year, and it's not looking good.
No, definitely not.
Hey, he's obviously not on my roster anymore. But
right. Okay. So what do we got? What else do we got on the 49ers?
They're just another blah team. I think.
Did they just get hot last year? Is that why they made it that far?
That was all Debo. I mean,
that's Kittle came back and Kittle was healthy.
Yeah, that's true. But it's still, you saw that he came back and was healthy. But if you watched as the season went on like FanDuel, if you look at in terms of rankings and how he's priced, towards the end of the season, he was like 6-7 tight end. He was not the guy right after Kittle. Or right after Kelsey.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mark Andrews is tight end two in football right now.
Yeah. I mean,
it's Kelsey, Andrews, and then you could argue Kittle, Pitts, Waller, whatever, but it's those two.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not very excited about the 49ers, as you can tell. I think their defense is going to hold them into a lot of games, and they're going to be in a lot of those situations where they may score 30 points, but the other team scores 33, and they're going to get a lot of losses like that.
Okay,
especially playing out west. They're playing in a good division outside of having to play the Rams twice, but you know, we'll see.
You can always count for the Cardinals and 49ers to split.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So do you want me to give you the Vegas line first?
No, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say right now, we're going to go 8-9.
8-9 for the 49ers, huh? Well, the Vegas line is 9.5.
Of course it is.
So Ryan is going the under.
I'm going the under.
I am also going the unders, so we are both on the unders for three of our eight teams today so far. That's crazy.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
So let's break that streak a little bit. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the Raiders. I think we're gonna change it up a little bit. So the Las Vegas Raiders last year were 10-7. 10-7. They made it to the playoffs. They got a playoff spot, which is pretty cool. Good for them, especially after all the shit that happened to them last year.
Yeah.
And then they lost because Derek Carr threw an interception at the goal line on fourth down with 10 seconds to go in the playoffs. So, sorry, Raiders fans. That shit sucks.
Hopefully that doesn't happen this year and Devontae Adams will be in that spot.
Right. So usually when I look at like the write-ups that we do for this and I look at the coaching changes, it's like two or three lines. And of course, for the Raiders, it's a fucking paragraph. In case you were living under a rock, John Gruden got fired last year in the middle of the year for being the only racist NFL executive in the history of the league.
He's the only one ever.
There's never been another racist.
It's been proven through Washington Redskins emails that he is the only one.
Right. And let's back that up. It's been proven through Washington Redskins emails that the NFL is not racist. Just keep that in mind.
Right. And by the way, I forgot that they're called the Washington Commanders now.
But like the racism is literally baked into the NFL. But John Gruden, now that they fired him, racism in the NFL is over.
Well, it's gone because they changed the name of the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins.
Oof, so, I want to thank our brave sports owners.
Racism doesn't exist in sports anymore.
It's over. Okay, so special teams coach Rich Bisaccia took over last year and then led the team to the fucking playoffs. Even with the Gruden shit and the Henry Ruggs shit, he took the Raiders to the playoffs, and guess what? They fucking fired his ass.
That's crazy.
What do you got to fucking do, you know?
Yeah.
So they hired Josh McDaniels, the former Patriots offensive coordinator.
And we all know what happens to Patriots coordinators when they go to head coach.
Josh McDaniels left the Patriots to be a head coach in Denver and then went back to the Patriots.
Remember the whole Matt Patricia debacle in Detroit?
There's so many people from the Belichick coaching tree that are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So anyways, McDaniels brought in Mick Lombardi from New England to run the offense. Gus Bradley left. Gus Bradley was their defensive coach. He went to Indianapolis. They brought in Patrick Graham from the Giants as the former Giants defensive coordinator. He's running the defense. Former NFL draft scout for ESPN, Mike Mayock, is no longer the GM for the Raiders either, which is probably a good thing because all of his picks were ridiculous. So kind of what I said for Denver, you've got a new coach and a new system and a new regime trying to be competitive right now while also turning over the roster.
Right.
So it's a weird like period right now with a lot of tough shit that they got to figure out. And so they declined their fifth-year options for Josh Jacobs, Cleveland Farrell, and Jonathan Abram. So they're trying to probably break ties with a lot of the old regime guys. So the Raiders, they got this guy in the offseason, this Davante Adams guy. He's got a lot of potential as the greatest wide receiver in football. They grabbed DeMarcus Robinson, the Chiefs wide receiver, for depth. Daron Harmon, the safety, is a big move for them to get in the defensive backfield. They got Bilal Nichols, formerly of the Chicago Bears, as an interior defensive lineman, who, as you and I know, is a real good player.
Yeah.
They got cornerback Rocky Sin, and low-key, they got edge rusher Chandler Jones from the Cardinals. Like, that's huge.
Nice.
So the Raiders are like, fuck it, man. Push the chips in. We're doing this. They didn't lose a lot. Yannick Ngakoue, the edge, left for the Colts. Casey Hayward went to the Falcons, and Solomon Thomas went to the Jets. Now, the Raiders didn't really have a lot of picks because they got that guy that might be good at wide receiver. So they didn't have a pick till the third round. They went guard Dylan Parham from Memphis, which I think is a great value pick.
Yeah.
They went Zamir Zeus White from Georgia in pick 4. Now, I think that if you're a dynasty fantasy football player, bell should go off in your head when I say the Raiders didn't do the fifth-year contract for Josh Jacobs, and they drafted an all-around running back out of Georgia in the fourth round with their second pick overall. So,
and that's crazy, too, because Josh Jacobs is really good.
He is, but who wants to pay him? They just gave Adams and Carr so much money. They're not going to be able to re-sign him.
Yeah, that's true.
So they went defensive tackle in the fourth and fifth round, and then they went offensive tackle in the seventh, and then they drafted Britton Brown from UCLA, a running back, a pass catcher, in the seventh, 250. He probably won't make the team. All right. I got some fun stuff for you here about the Raiders, all right? Let me tell you, I'm a little optimistic here about the Raiders. You don't need to be an expert to recognize that adding Davante Adams is nuts.
Yeah.
Pairing Josh McDaniels with Derek Carr and Davante Adams might be even more nuts. When you think about Patriots offenses, Ryan, what types of receivers tend to thrive in a Patriots offense?
Probably slot receivers.
Okay. Do the Raiders have a good slot receiver, Ryan?
I mean, Renfro, but...
So, that's true. And yeah. You're right. You're right that Josh McDaniels' offenses love a slot guy that can run real sharp routes. And so he's going to find ways to get open looks to Hunter Renfro, like they did Edelman and Welker, right?
Yeah.
But remember who else was on some of those Patriots offenses? He's kind of like a Hall of Fame wide receiver that's like probably one of the best wide receivers of all time.
God, from a long time ago?
Yeah, his name was Randy something.
Oh, Randy Moss. Damn it.
Yeah, I think so. Because Randy Moss caught 20 touchdown catches in a year? And that was on a Josh McDaniels offense.
Really?
Yes. And you know who else had a legendary record-breaking offensive season with Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator in Denver, 2009? Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, was that the year that? No, that wasn't the year Peyton went.
No,
was a few years after that.
So, both of those roles are huge in a well-run Josh McDaniels offense.
Yeah, I mean Oakland's like done
Las so Vegas. Much. They live in Vegas now.
Sorry, they're not in Oakland. They're not in Oakland anymore.
They're gonna move by the time this episode's over.
Yeah. They've done so much and to get that offense like elite, like that could potentially be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Well, my problem is the interior of their offensive line is a fucking mess. It's a fucking mess. So Derek Carr was sacked 40 times last year.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. So they drafted a guard, and they're hoping that Parham can start right away. And they also signed Bears former swing interior offensive lineman Alex Bars, who is a replacement-level player.
Sure.
If the offensive line holds up, this offense is bonkers. But remember, Josh McDaniels' offenses, especially when Brady got a little bit older, they were so dependent on the quick drop and quick release. Three-step drops, short passes, that sometimes it doesn't matter. You can hold up for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So, it's possible. They need a little bit of luck, but we'll see. All right. I feel bad for anyone as a defense that has to go against this division 6 times in a year. Like, good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be competitive. It's going to make for really good games to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what needs to improve about the Raiders' defense, aside from a lot of things. They only had 6 interceptions last year.
That's it?
That's it. They had 35 sacks. They got pressure. They had 13 forced fumbles. They've caused turnovers. But 6 interceptions, that's unacceptable, man.
That's one, like, every 3 games. Or not even.
That's fucking terrible. I hate it. So their new defensive coordinator is the guy for the Giants last year. He likes a hybrid front, so you're going to see 3-4s, 4-3s, nickels, 3-3-5s, dimes, all kinds of stuff. He wants to get pressure from the front four, and he'll play zone in the back end. Not a lot of man coverage. Max Crosby was a beast last year, and if Chandler Jones is a beast this year, this defense works, because they get pressure on both sides.
Yeah, sure.
They're kind of doing the same thing with like what the Broncos are doing with their edges. It's like, look, you guys, you're the focal point. Like, you got to get in there and cause chaos. Because I got to tell you, if any quarterback in this division has 5 or 6 seconds in the pocket to find something, you're done. All right.
I mean, yeah, even 4 seconds.
So agree with me on this here, right? If the Raiders are in the NFC, they probably win their division.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's like, I think half the divisions in football they would win.
Yeah.
I think a divisional bloodbath, it's going to be a bloodbath in this division, and I think they're going to make it it's going to be impossible for a team that has this many questions to dominate the way they would somewhere else.
Sure.
I have the Raiders at 10-7 this year in a wild card spot.
Wow, modest. I was going to say 12 wins. I was thinking 12 like
wins for the Raiders.
12-5. I think the Raiders win the division this year.
So, okay. So yes. do you want me to pause the stream so you can run to FanDuel, because their win line this year is 8.
Are you serious?
8.
I'll take the over on that all day.
We are both going the over on that. Like, they're predicting the Raiders to be under 500, and I think that that is unwise.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going to log in after this.
So far, we are both under the Broncos 10.5, but I think we both said 10, right?
Yeah.
We're both over the Raiders at 8. We're both under the Seahawks at 5.5, and we're both under the 49ers at 9.5.
Okay.
All right, Ryan, who's next?
I like it. Let's do Zona. Let's do Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona was 11-6 last year. They're another team. I think this year they're going to be pretty decent, but like I said earlier, they have to play the Rams twice. And I honestly think the Rams are going to win the division again this year. It's
okay.
The Rams took another few steps to make sure that they get to the Super Bowl again. But, Arizona's trying. They still have, Cliff Kingsbury, their head coach. They promoted Sean Jefferson to the assistant head coach. Other than that, there's really only coaching changes of note. You know, assistant to the assistant general manager.
Naturally.
You know, they had a bunch of those, but we don't need to talk about those. So let's see. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first 6 games. Is he appealing that?
I don't know, man. That guy's fucking weird.
I mean, did they ever say what substance he tested for? Or because I remember at one point, like all the people on his staff, like were like rummaging through his garbage or whatever to find out what he ate or whatever.
Right.
Because they don't think he like actually knew he was putting something into his body that was a PED.
Right.
But anyways, I guess if he doesn't appeal, he knew that he was willingly doing that, I guess. But
well, you know, he's also anti-vax because he was afraid of what's inside of it. So I would hope that he would know everything that goes into his body if he's so concerned about a vaccine.
That's a very good point. What an asshole.
Yep. Okay. Real good at football, though. Real good at football.
Yeah. just wanted to get that out of the way. Let's see. They lost Chase Edmonds. Went to Miami. Tony pointed out earlier they lost Chandler Jones.
Yep.
Who went to Oakland. They lost Jordan Hicks. And then the biggest news of the year, Christian Kirk to the Jaguars, setting the precedent for wide receiver, for shitty wide receiver money. I do not know why a number 3 wide receiver got $85 million to go, I guess, to go play for the Jags, but
that's why.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most surprising contract announcement this year, right?
That's like the first domino to fall, and now we have Tyreek in Miami, Devontae in Vegas, AJ Brown in Philly, and Hollywood in Arizona, which you're going to talk about. Like,
yeah,
that without that Kirk move, I don't know if half of those moves happen.
Yeah. Like I said, like Tony said, they picked up Hollywood Brown in the draft. They gave away their first round pick and what else?
They gave away their first round pick and they got Hollywood and a third round pick back.
Right, that's right. Yeah, because they had 2 third rounders. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. They've also added Nick Vigil at linebacker, Antonio Hamilton at cornerback, Kingsley Keke at defensive line. Those are just the more notable free agent pickups this year. They re-signed a lot of people too.
Sure.
Let's go through their draft really quick. As we said, they traded away their first round pick to get Hollywood Brown. Arizona had a really surprising draft because they inked Zach Ertz to a new deal. They still have Max Williams. They still have another tight end. Yet at round two, number 55 overall, they grabbed Trey McBride. Like, it was just shocking to me. Their first pick, they took a tight end. Especially knowing, or did the news about Hopkins come out before or after the draft?
It came out after, but a lot of people think they knew beforehand, and that's why they traded for Hollywood.
Okay. So they had two third round picks, round three, number 87, Cameron Thomas, defensive end from South Dakota State or San Diego State, round three, number 100, Mujai Sanders, defensive end from Cincinnati. And then they must have traded a bunch of stuff last year because they didn't have another pick. They had 2 6th round picks and 3 7th round picks. Ingram at running back. We never really talked about him from USC.
Yeah, Keontae Ingram.
Yeah.
He might be a dynasty guy, man. Like, I didn't rank him because he's just a whatever guy.
Yeah.
But he fell into one of the best situations this year with Eno Benjamin and James Conner. If Conner gets hurt, like, this dude could shine.
Yeah. And then they picked up another couple, defensive guys and two more O-lines. Marquise Hayes, Oklahoma, Letitia Smith, Virginia Tech at line, Christian Matthew, defensive back, and Jesse Lakita, linebacker. There's a lot of drama with the Arizona Cardinals, especially, yeah. I mean, we don't even know if Murray like even wants to even play for Arizona.
Right.
Like now we got Hopkins out for 6 weeks.
Well, you know, he and Hollywood played in college together. So that a lot of people think this was a big gesture by the organization to be like, yo, dude, you're our quarterback. Like we'll surround you with weapons.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I don't know how this team's going to look the first 6 weeks of the season. It could be really bad, actually. I got high hopes for the Cardinals. I think they're going to make a strong run. I think they will get a wild card spot this year, honestly.
All right.
They should get a wild card spot, especially if everyone stays healthy. I do like that Trey McBride gets to study under Zach Ertz for a little bit, at least for a year.
I think they use him on the field at the same time a lot.
McBride and Ertz?
Yeah, I think you, like, Ertz is tall. Like, you have A.J. Brown. Or, you don't have A.J. Brown. You have A.J. Green. You have Hollywood Brown. You have Rondale Moore, Zach Ertz, and Trey McBride. So all you really need to do is be like, hey, look, AJ and Hollywood, like, go run down the field really far, and then you have three guys that can all manipulate space in the short area, like, a lot, you know?
Yeah. You can't cover everyone.
Right.
I just really hope that whatever bug is up Murray's ass just comes out, and Murray just, because he can be so good. And he's just, I don't know what it is. He just doesn't like playing for Arizona or something. I don't know.
Okay, I think, to me, there are two coaches in the NFL. Well, there are, two coaches in the NFL that I would identify as overrated, and one of them is Cliff Kingsbury. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a bad coach that lucked into a team with really good players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the guy from Cincinnati. Like,
oh yeah.
I think those are two bad coaches that are on good teams with good organizations. I think a better coach has already developed Kyler Murray and that team to the point where they made a deep playoff run, and this dude's just like, nah, man, we're not gonna run anything creative. We're just gonna do a bunch of like boring ass bullshit that doesn't utilize the skills of our best player.
Right. But they're at least gonna get 4 wins out of playing Seattle and 49ers. So
what do you think? What's their record?
Their record, I think I'm gonna go with the same as last year. I'm gonna go 11-6.
Okay. So the line in Vegas for the Arizona Cardinals is 9.5.
Wow, so I'm over. Okay, I'm over.
You are over on Arizona and I am under.
You're saying 9 or less?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's 9. I really do. I think they win 9 games.
Okay.
I worry about,
I mean, they still got Connor. Right. Like you said, they re-signed AJ Green. They got Rondale Moore. Yep. They still got a lot of good, really good weapons.
I worry about the defense, man.
Okay.
I worry about the defense. So
they're going to be like a sieve.
I think so. I think they're going to struggle to put pressure on the quarterback.
Okay.
So I feel like we both put the teams that we think are going to give, like, win their division last, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I saved the Rams for last. Yeah.
So this means for me, I'm picking the team that I think is going to finish in second place in the division, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
What? Second?
Second.
No way.
So last year, the Kansas City Chiefs went 12-5 and lost in the AFC Championship to the Bengals. Mahomes was out-dueled by Joe Cool, and Evan Money McPherson made the fucking game-winning field goal.
That, do you remember the odds? Because like McPherson, I think all the playoff games up until that one had won the game for them.
Yeah,
and there was actually a prop. On the sports book for McPherson to make the next, like, the Super Bowl game winning kick or whatever. And I put money on it and it almost happened. But
right, right. All right. So last year was pretty disappointing for Chiefs fans. You know, like, they had a pretty rough stretch in the middle of the year. And then they got hot right at the end of the season, and then they lost in the championship game at home. Tough shit.
Yeah, I remember the middle of the season, everyone was like, is Mahomes really that good?
Right. So here's the thing. Remember that first year, they won the title, and everyone's like, dynasty, dynasty, dynasty. And they haven't won 2 years in a row. So this year kind of feels like a we're putting the band back together moment, all right? Former quarterbacks coach Matt Nagy has returned to be quarterbacks coach again.
Okay.
Eric Bieniemy interviewed for a few coaching gigs, didn't get him. Now he's back. He's returning as offensive coach for this year. They had some monstrous losses in free agency and trading. So they traded away Tyreek Hill. Thanks, Christian Kirk. Tyreek Hill's in Miami, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Kadarius Ward is in San Francisco, which Ryan brought up earlier. Byron Pringle is in Chicago. DeMarcus Robinson, the other wide receiver, is in Vegas. They lost two safeties. They lost Daniel Sorensen to New Orleans and Tyrann Mathieu to New Orleans.
Yeah, they lost a lot.
They did. So they have some new guys. They have Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver. They also got wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They got running back Ronald Jones, two safeties, former Chicago Bear Deion Bush, and then safety Justin Reed from Houston. They also got linebacker Jermaine Carter Jr. So they made some moves. Oh shit, that's right. They also lost cornerback Mike Hughes to the Lions, which might be a thing. All right, so because they traded Tyreek, they had some shit going on in the first round, man. They had crazy flexibility.
Yeah.
They had two picks in the end of the first. So they traded with the Patriots twice. which is weird, but okay, whatever. So round one, pick 21 from New England, they got Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington, which is a huge move. And then, using pick 30, they got George Karlaftis, the defensive end from Purdue, the edge rusher. So they traded up from 29 to 21, gave up a third. They traded again. The Chiefs got pick 54, which they used on wide receiver Sky Moore. Everybody's favorite fantasy rookie right now. Dude, he's going above Chris Olave now. I see him at like 1.07 in rookie drafts. It's nuts.
Dude, he's in my lineup for your division.
Okay. All right, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So round 262, they went safety, Cincinnati, Brian Cook. Round 3, 103, they went linebacker, Leo Chenal from Wisconsin. And then a bunch of guys that I'm not too worried about after round 4. They drafted a running back from Rutgers in round 7, but we'll see. Nothing too interesting after that. So you know what an Andy Reid offense looks like, and so do I. So I'm going to tell you that I think the Tyreek Hill trade might actually allow for an opening up of the playbook for them to have more options than they would have before. The cover 2 defense is what people used against the Chiefs last year, and it worked super well because it neutralized Tyreek Hill's deep speed. Mahomes' air yards were way down. So I think without Hill, and you bring in short-range specialists like Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore, I think that allows for diversity underneath. You think those guys will be running the short routes, Kelce will be in the middle of the field, and then Hardman and Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdes-Scantling are the ones that run deep, right? So I think there's going to be less deep shots and less like electric plays from this offense this upcoming year, but I also think Mahomes will be more efficient. In fantasy, people are asking, well, who's going to take over the Tyreek role? And I don't think it's that simple. I think the things he was asked to do, they'll like distribute it out among all the other players Kansas City signed or drafted. They also have a massive backfield of really average dudes. They have CEH, Ronald Jones, Derek Gore, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerry, and Ely. That running back room fucking sucks. Maybe they should get a running back. All right, so I'm going to tell you this. Kansas City is a sneaky pick to be a top 10 defense in 2022. I think they could be a top 5 squad, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Jordan Reed is not like a substitution for what Tyrann Mathieu did in the secondary, but he's a more traditional safety. If they hit twice in the first round, if their cornerback and edge rusher are good, this defense could be crazy. Because each of those guys were like at the top of their position list, right? Like top 3 guys.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We'll find out how good they are right away, right? Because of this division.
Yeah, that's a good statement.
This group doesn't have a lot of the name recognition that other defenses do, but I don't think there's a lot of holes in this unit. And remember, they were a punching bag a couple of years ago. They're not that punching bag anymore.
No, yeah, that's true. I remember they were bottom third of the defensive rankings.
Last year, they had 31 sacks. Not great, right? They forced 18 fumbles, and they had 15 interceptions.
Not bad.
If they had 10 more sacks, that's an elite defense.
Yeah.
All right, so finally, I play Magic the Gathering, right? And they always talk about focusing on something called your win condition. Like, what is your win condition? What needs to happen in order for your deck or your team to win? And that can be a million different things. This Chiefs team had a new win condition last year. They stopped winning 38-35. They started winning 24-10 or 17-7. And they had to learn new ways to win. And I think this offseason they've kind of leaned into that a little bit, right? They went so defense heavy in the draft. I think they're planning on winning lower scoring games.
Okay.
They allowed less than 14 points in 6 games last year.
Really?
Yes.
That's surprising.
So they traded away Tyreek, and not they're not worrying about the huge plays from scrimmage anymore, and they used some of that capital to shore up the defense, like the pass rush in the secondary. That's them saying, fuck the deep ball. I'll give you the deep ball if you give me the assets to go pass rush and coverage.
Yeah.
I might expect the offenses to look a little bit more conservative, maybe even a little bit closer to what Andy Reid did with Alex Smith at quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, and even with Alex Smith, they were still good.
I'm expecting a little bit more of a conservative approach as the offense goes, and I expect the defense to this year hop up and be easily a top 10 unit, maybe a top 5 unit. I predict that the Chiefs will go 12-5 and get the top wild card spot.
I agree with that. They're going to make the playoffs outside of, you know, something catastrophic happening to Mahomes, but
sure.
Who's Mahomes' backup?
Is it still Matt Moore?
Probably.
So, yeah, so what do you think? Let me give you the line. The line for the Chiefs' victories this year is 10.5.
Ooh. I'll say over. I think they at least get 11.
It's a real good number, right?
Yeah.
We are both going over on Kansas City.
Yeah. I think I like that number. I think it's at least 11 wins.
Okay. All right. So we are doing our division winners here. This is our last one for each division. So, Ryan, why don't you tell me about the Los Angeles Rams? Wait, do you think it's funny that both of our division winners are from Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's funny.
What about a Chargers-Rams Super Bowl?
I mean, that's what they were hoping for last year.
Right.
You know, is it? It's not going to be in LA again, though, is it?
No, I don't know where it is this year. Who cares?
Somewhere south. Somewhere warm. Probably in Tampa. So, yeah, let's talk about the last year's Super Bowl champs, the LA Rams. So, still got Sean McVay. They've got a new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. They've got a new defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris.
Okay. He's been around.
And then there are a lot of other promotions within the organizations to other random jobs, you know, like normal.
Assistants to the assistants.
Right. To the regional manager. Let's see. Andrew Whitworth retired, or they let him go or something.
No, he retired. He retired.
Was he like 15 seasons or something like that?
Yeah. Dude's like 48 years old.
Von Miller went to the Bills. We still don't know what's going on with Odell. Because, you know, with his late season, ACL?
His Super Bowl ACL.
Yeah, yeah. He's not looking like he's going to be playing till October or November.
Right.
If he plays this year. So I think that's put a big... big flag in front of his name in terms of teams trying to pick him up.
Yeah, I'd say.
I don't think, honestly, don't think he's going anywhere. Because if you look at like the addition of Allen Robinson, and anyway, they picked up Allen Robinson, and I think that's going to be like Odell's fill-in while he's not playing. And chances are one of those guys is going to get hurt again and they'll need him.
Do you think they maybe wait for the season to start or Odell to get closer to full health before they sign him to a contract?
Either that or they'll wait till the NFL trade deadline during the season to make a decision. I don't think any team's going to want to take the chance and pay someone that wide receiver buku dollars to only play half a season.
Sure.
So I think the Rams are going to be stuck with them. They picked up Bobby Wagner, Jeff Noteboom at tackle, Brian Allen at center, Brandon Powell, wide receiver. We're looking at a really good offense once again. Yep. Akers should be healthy, barring any setbacks from that. They still have a pretty decent running back depth.
Yep.
So, yep. So they should. I honestly think the Rams did some moves this year. They're going to get back to the Super Bowl, I think.
Okay.
If Stafford stays healthy, the additions of the new wide receivers, still having Odell, Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's the magic formula for another Super Bowl win. Let's go. Let's see. So their draft, they must have traded some stuff too in previous years. So they didn't have a pick till round three.
Yeah, remember general manager, famous general manager Les Snead was quoted saying, fuck them picks. They gave up a bunch. I mean, they gave up this year's first for Stafford.
Their draft was essentially like the same as the Cardinals draft, where they only had three good picks, and then they had 2 sixths and 3 sevenths.
Sure.
They got round three, number 104, Logan Bruss. Outside line from Wisconsin. Round four, number 142, Dakobe Durant, defensive back, South Carolina. Round five, pick number 164, Kyron Williams, another running back addition from Notre Dame.
Yep.
We talked about him in our draft spectacular earlier this year.
Yep.
So yeah, just some more running back depth to add, and who knows, Henderson, Akers gets hurt, he might get a chance to play.
Yep.
It's just gonna solidify that backfield for them and give them more options and make them injury proof. And then round six, Quentin Lake, Darian Kendrick, both defensive backs. Then round seven, you got a linebacker, a defensive back, and another tackle.
Okay. Some depth. No one,
yeah. Just some guys to stash. So, their offense is going to be operating on highest of high levels this year. And in the NFC West, it's going to be a nice division for them to play in and get some solidified wins. I haven't looked at their schedule yet, but I don't, from what I remember hearing, it wasn't like crazy hard. Like some teams got, I think, like I was saying, Kansas City's first eight games of the season or something like that, they're playing on teams that were winning teams last year. They're playing, right. So they're going to have a tough, Kansas City's going to have a tough start to the season.
Hold on. Okay, the Rams play. First game of the season, Buffalo.
Okay.
Which is going to be a burner. Buffalo, yeah. Atlanta, Arizona, San Francisco, Dallas, Carolina, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, Arizona, New Orleans, Kansas City, Seattle, Las Vegas, Green Bay, Denver, Chargers, Seattle.
Yeah, so they don't have too hard of a schedule like that. First Bills game is going to be really good. And then you said, like, late the next like six games are pretty much sound like guaranteed wins.
Sure.
Until maybe they play the Cowboys and Las Vegas.
Yep. Denver, Seattle, Atlanta, like those are cupcake games.
Yeah. And they had like San Francisco in there twice. It's looking really good for the Rams. So their wide receivers are in place, as we talked. Their running backs, they have huge depth at it. They've just got a lot of assets to utilize, and they're gonna win the Super Bowl, I think, again.
All right.
Defensive standpoint, they did a lot of like dink and dime stuff in the draft to give them more depth. They didn't really lose a lot of people on defense outside of Von Miller. They should still have a high caliber defense, and defense wins championships, as we saw last year. So should still be good to go.
Yeah. So what do you think? How many wins? Do you want me to give you the line first, or do you want to guess how many wins you're gonna? Tell me how many wins you're gonna put.
No, I'm going one more win than last year. I'm going 13-4.
Wow. Okay. So that means you're smashing the over, because the over on Vegas for the Rams is 10.5.
Wow, for real?
Yep.
I thought it'd at least be like 11.5.
Nope. 10.5. So let's take a trip. Let's finish this up. Let's take a trip. We're going to start in Los Angeles, and we're going to end in Los Angeles.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to talk about my team from LA that I think is going to win the Super Bowl. The Chargers. The LA Chargers went 9-8 last year. They lost their chance at a playoff berth. Justin Herbert led a miraculous fourth quarter comeback, and their defense couldn't stop the Raiders on the last week of the regular season in overtime twice. Ouch.
Really?
Yeah, so the Chargers defense last year was a fucking nightmare, but we'll get to that in a minute. There are some players that left. Justin Jones, defensive lineman, went to Chicago. Kaiser White went to Philly, which is a big deal. Jared Cook is still unsigned, but he's a free agent. And slot cornerback Chris Harris is also still unsigned. But when I tell you that the Chargers went all in on defense this year, they went all in on defense this year.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
So let's get the first one out of the way. They went Gerald Everett to replace Jared Cook, which is fine. That's the same fucking player.
Right.
They traded for Khalil Mack from the Bears. The question is he healthy? They signed nickelback Bryce Callahan from Denver, also formerly of the Bears.
You also said nickelback.
Look at this, Bryce Callahan. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. So they got Troy Reader at linebacker, which is a nice move. They got Kyle Van Noy as a linebacker. That's another nice move. And they signed cornerback J.C. Jackson, who was a Pro Bowler last year and was second in the league with 8 interceptions.
Really?
The Chargers went balls deep on defense. So, since they went so heavy on defense in the offseason, they went offensive line at pick 17 in the draft. They went Zion Johnson from Boston College, which means now, man, they got an offensive line. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me finish. Safety JT Woods from Baylor in round 3, because they lost their second because they traded it to the Bears.
Right.
Backup running back Isaiah Spiller in round 4.
Yeah, and I like that one.
Yeah. And then, you know, pretty much some depth pieces from there. No one too interesting that struck my radar. So, offense. The Chargers offense. Look, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right? The Chargers had the 5th best scoring offense in football last season. Justin Herbert is like, I just watched Terminator when I wrote this up, so I wrote that Justin Herbert is the John Connor of the Chargers. He's just like a baby-faced doofus-looking guy, and he's like the savior for the whole fucking thing. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams returned to be back as wide receivers. Jared Cook is replaced by a dude who looks a lot like Jared Cook on the field and Gerald Everett. I love what the Chargers are doing going offensive line in the first. Again, this is their second year in a row of drafting an offensive lineman in the first round. Last year they went Slater from Illinois, from Northwestern. Zion Johnson is a great blocker on the inside. And this team knows, they're like, look, dude, Justin Herbert's the guy. We got to protect him. We got to give him chances to do whatever he can, because we only are as good as Herbert.
Yeah.
He was sacked 31 times last year. I think that number goes down. I think the line keeps Eckler efficient. I think Spiller gets used as a change of pace back to keep Eckler fresh. What I like is, instead of like getting a whole bunch of new weapons, they're running it back with a lot of the same guys, but they increased the protection. They beefed it up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So let me stop this positivity train real quick, because we're about to talk about the defense. The defense gave up an average of 27 points per game last year.
Damn.
they didn't force turnovers enough. Their rushing defense, there was only five games last year where the other team ran for less than 100 yards.
Oh my God.
That's fucking terrible. They lost Kazir White, which is a big deal. Hopefully Troy Reader is a fill-in. Kyle Van Noy is going to be a key piece. J.C. Jackson, who they signed as a free agent, and J.T. Woods, who they drafted, are going to be super important in keeping the defense afloat.
What's crazy, too, is that they gave up that many points and still managed to win that many games.
Because the offense is so good.
Yeah, right?
So, we watched Khalil Mack. We know his game. If he gives the Chargers 75% of what he gave the Bears, this defense is a division winner.
Yeah, I see it.
With Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, if Derwin James is healthy, you've got investments all along. J.C. Jackson, you've got, you know, J.T. Woods. It could be. They replaced a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And if those signings pay off, then this defense is the best in the division. Maybe. They got bigger names than the Chiefs, but could you imagine a Chiefs-Chargers game in 2022 that's like a defensive struggle? It's possible.
Yeah, right? It's 13-10 or something.
Right, and it's possible because both of those teams have such good defenses.
Yeah.
All right, so the Chargers are a sneaky play this year. With the division they're in, by the time the playoffs roll around, they will be fucking tested, right? You'll know if they can compete.
Yeah.
So, in the division, what I noticed, and here's why I picked them to win the division. I think they're going to overtake the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have we've seen a blueprint to beat the Chiefs. And I think the Raiders and Broncos both have, their administrations are still too new. They're still trying to win on the fly.
Yeah.
So, Kansas City is a challenge, but I think the Chargers have kept the most of their core intact and are just trying to make that push to get a little bit better.
Okay.
As of mid-May, the Los Angeles Chargers are my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. I predict them to go 13-4 this year and take it home. So,
oh my God, what's the line?
The line is 10 exactly. No hook. 10.
Wow. I think I'm going to go over, obviously, on that one. I think they're at least good for 11 or 12.
So looking at our lists, we only disagreed on one. And that was...
Oakland?
That was the Cardinals.
Cardinals? What did we say for the Cardinals?
You took the over at 9.5. I took the under.
Really quick, do you want to go through a short little fantasy lineup?
Yeah. Why don't you start? Why don't you tell me about the division that I'm looking at?
Yeah. So I made a lineup based off of the AFC West at quarterback, because unlike Tony, I'm on Oakland instead of the Chargers. I went with Derek Carr.
Uh-huh. Okay.
At running over back. Herbert. What?
Over Justin Herbert.
Yes. I think it's just because of Adams. Bold prediction, Derek Carr throws for more than 35 touchdowns this year.
I can see it.
Yeah. Running back, I went with Javonte Williams.
Okay.
My other running back, I went with Austin Eckler. At wide receiver, I paired Carr with Adams. And someone I mentioned earlier, I went wide receiver, Mr. Sky Moore.
That's so interesting. I am so interested in how Sky Moore does this year.
I know, right? I know. And then I went with Kelsey at tight end, obviously.
Naturally. So my picks for your division, gotta roll with Stafford. I like Kyler, but Kyler's injury history is concerning to me.
Yeah.
James Conner, to me, has the best path for consistent touches in the division, and I like the sneaky play of Kenneth Walker as my running back, too.
I like that, too, yeah, because like we said, he's going to get a chance.
Sure is. wide receivers, why am I even talking about it? It's Cooper Kupp and DK Metcalf. Right. And Zach Ertz is my tight end one. However, I'm really not that against Noah Fant. I know a lot of people are against Noah Fant. I'm not against playing Noah Fant in fantasy this year.
I think I'm going to shy away from him if Drew Locke's throwing him the ball. But
yeah, but Drew Locke has been throwing him the ball for years.
That's a good point, too. But he's in a new city, new coaches.
I think Seattle's going to be down a lot, and I think a lot of short passes. I think Noah Fant is going to be a garbage time monster this year.
Garbage time, like red zone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are our wraps on the AFC and NFC West. So we're halfway done with the league. That's weird.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So what do we do next? What division do we do next, Ryan?
All right, so we've done the West and we've done the South, right? So do we want to save the Midwest for last since that's our home? Or do we want to do the, you know, let's do the East next.
Okay. Do you want the AFC or NFC West? Do we want to switch?
Yeah, we can switch. That's fine.
Okay, so you'll have the AFC East. So you'll get, that's Buffalo, New England, Miami, and Jets.
Yeah.
And then I'll have the NFC East, which is Philly, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Commanders. Oh boy, that's thrilling. I can't wait to spend time researching the Washington fucking Commanders.
Hey, it's your turn, buddy.
Everybody pays at some point. Okay, so hey, this was episode 31, and Craig, this is your last chance, dude. So
yeah, let's hope this was better. From my end, it sounded a lot better.
Everything sounds perfect. It just drops in post-production. So
I see.
So we'll see what happens. Craig, I really hope you pulled through because we love doing this podcast with you, man. But if you can't keep it up, like, we can't have you on the payroll anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I know that really kills the vibes, the positive vibes. But if it makes everybody feel better, Craig's not actually real. So, like, fuck you. So that's it for this one. And so we'll see you next week with hopefully some juicy insights. 8 teams that probably only 3 or 4 are interesting and worth talking about.
Yeah, episode 31 is a wrap, and it's probably our longest episode.
I love it. I'm glad. Fuck it. It's a Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Craig. And we'll see you next week.
Good day, everyone.
Good night. Yeah, good day. Good night. Watch some Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue. Yep. Shut it down. No way.